spring from within us or come to us from without? Is hope only about the good and the beautiful? Or can it carry us through dark days and dull moments? May hope be our song on the journey of life. Welcome today. I see a few visitors in the congregation. You're all very welcome. And I was talking to one who I know is a returning student, and some of you may be students. I flew down to Dunedin this week. It was very hard to get to Dunedin because all the flights were booked out for Friday, because it's orientation week there this coming week. And on the way back, I was seated next to a woman who, as we landed, received a call at Wellington Airport, obviously from the daughter she'd left behind. And she wasn't very happy on her first night in Dunedin. I'm being emotional myself. I don't know what was wrong. It sounded like she was a returning student, but perhaps there was no one in the flat or whatever it was. And the mother said, I can come back tomorrow morning if you like. So I don't know what happened. She finished the call because we were getting off the plane. But it's a big time at the moment for people starting new things and being in new places. And if that's you, welcome. If anyone from the cruise ships? There are two of them in the harbour? No? So do let us know who you are and where you're from afterwards at the morning tea. And that's going to be happening at the back, and you're all very welcome to stay for that and continue the conversation. Kia ora tātou. Let us pray. On this day when new things are starting for many young people entering their tertiary education, and the sun is shining, and people are going to exhaust themselves running around the bays later, we are here in this quiet space. And as we sit and wait and wonder, we pray for open hearts and minds so that we will hear what it is that we need to hear today amongst everything that happens, whether it be in a moment of quiet, a word, a song, a thought, a prayer. May we be ready for that moment when we hear what we need to hear today. So may it be. And we say together the Jesus Prayer or the Lord's Prayer, which is on the laminated card in the middle of your order of service. Eternal Spirit, life giver, pain bearer, love maker, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. your commonwealth of peace and freedom, sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and tests, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Emily, we need our rainbow candle lighting. I think it's going to be a bit of a mission. See how small the... We'll try, though. How's your year so far? Good. Well done. You got it done. Well done. So Pat's got the story today. So Lucy's here. Anyone else? Any other children that would like to join? Any adults that would like to join so you can see the pictures in the book?
Okay. I've got a book here, actually, about holidays and your introductory comments about people coming back from holidays kind of fits in. So did you do anything special at holiday time? You spent Christmas with your cousins? Good. I went on the Picton Ferry, which was lots of fun, and it was not bumpy enough. I really like it when it's bumpy. However, this is a book called Jesus' Day Off. And for those of you who know Nicholas Allen, it's the same author who wrote Jesus' Christmas Party, which we've used here. Birthday party, yes. So, this is Jesus, and these are his friends. He had 12 of them. I actually don't agree with that. He had lots more than 12 of them, but maybe these were special friends. Jesus could do amazing miracles, and no one could work out how they were done. He could walk on water. He also told marvelous stories, all for free. Each day he worked hard to make everything around him and around them beautiful. Until one day he woke up exhausted, that means very tired, from saving the world. That day, the miracles didn't go quite as well. People sank halfway down. And neither did the stories go very well. The next morning, Jesus went to the doctor. After examining him, the doctor advised, "Take the day off, Jesus. Enjoy yourself. Sit in the sun." So Jesus told his friends what the doctor had ordered and then went out for a walk. It was a lovely, cloudless day. First of all, he did cartwheels right across the desert, saying, "Yippee!" And then he played catch with his halo. And then he had a picnic. Now, you might be able to tell people what the picnic is there. What can you see in front of him? Bread and... That's right. There's five breads and two fishes. Interesting little side story. And after that, he had a refreshing swim. And finally, he went on a long donkey ride, something he always enjoyed. It had been a wonderful day, but towards the end, as he sat in the sun, Jesus suddenly felt sad. For really, the day had been wasted, and he'd helped no one. In fact, he felt so bad that he decided to tell his dad all about it. Jesus loved his dad very much. Dad knew everything and always had the right thing to say. When Jesus told him about the day off, his dad said, "Look down. Look down there a minute, son." So Jesus looked down. Where you did your cartwheels, fountains of water appeared in the desert. This is a story actually about miracles, isn't it? Where you threw your halo and ate your picnic, the trees bloomed with fruit. When you went swimming, the fishermen had a lot of luck, caught lots of fish. And whoever you passed on your donkey felt instantly happy. So you see, when you're feeling better yourself, you can only make other people feel better too. Jesus knew that as usual, his father was right. "Thanks, Dad," he said. And when Jesus got home, his friends were so happy to see him looking so well, they cooked him a delicious supper. And that night, after he'd said his prayers, Jesus slept soundly. And the next morning, he was glad he'd taken a rest. He had this funny feeling there was a lot more good work to be done. The end. So I wish all you new students a good year after your break.
Good. Okay, so we're sending you to the Rainbow Room with Jules to hear stories, ask questions, have fun particularly. And we all say, we bless you. Amen. Okay, and we're going to pass the peace.
Our first reading, the Old Testament reading, is from Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the one who trusts in God, whose confidence is in the divine. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by a stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. And the New Testament reading is from Luke 6, 17 to 23. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea and from Jerusalem and from the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and be healed. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you, and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated their prophets." And the contemporary reading is from Christian Hope, and the details are in the intimations. Another text of St. Paul's is even clearer. Hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Romans 5, verse 5. Far from being a simple wish for the future, with no guarantee that it will come about, Christian hope is the presence of a divine love in a person, the Holy Spirit, a current of life that carries us to the ocean of the fullness of communion. How can we root our lives in Christian hope? Biblical and Christian hope does not mean living in the clouds, dreaming of a better life. It is merely a projection of what we would like to be or do. It leads us to discover seeds of a new world already present today, because of our identity of our God, because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This hope is, in addition, a source of energy to live differently, not according to the values of a society based on the thirst for possession and competition. In the Bible, the divine promise does not ask us to sit down and wait passively for it to come about as if by magic. Before speaking to Abraham about the fullness of life offered to him, God says, "Leave your country and your home for the land I will show you." Genesis 12, verse 1. To enter into God's promise, Abraham is called to make his life a pilgrimage, to undergo a new beginning. For the word in Scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
Let us pray. May our hearts and ears be open and our spirits ready to receive what we need to hear. So may it be. Amen. I mentioned last week that one of our needs is to be around like-minded people. On Friday, I was in a group of people like that. We were gathered to mourn the loss of Reverend Dr. Judith McKinley from this world. We here in this community are in the middle of mourning the loss of Margaret Megwin from our world, so you will relate. Judith was 81, which I found surprising. Her life mirrored that of many women of her age. The first almost two-thirds of her life followed her medical husband's career, including his volunteering in Asian missionary situations. And her daughter became quite emotional when she related that because money was often short, her mother would often eat crackers so the rest of the family had enough to eat. However, Judith was inspired by her later work with Women's Refuge in the 1980s to train for ordination. At the time, it was with an expectation of chaplaincy work, but eventually she became an internationally known scholar in Hebrew and First Testament biblical studies. She was ordained straight into a lecturing position at what was then known as the Knox Theological Hall, and the following year became the only female church-appointed professor in Presbyterian ministry training. The 1980s and the 1990s were difficult times for feminists in the church and academy. Judith managed to be firm but gracious, feisty but also inclusive, sometimes under extreme provocation. She began this more theologically overt part of her life when she was about to turn 50. Many of us were gasping at the academically famous names on the email tributes that had flown in. I recognised many names from articles I had been assigned to read while I was training. Her internationally recognised career as a biblical studies scholar, specialising in feminist and post-colonial work, happened in the last 30 years of her life. Perhaps we could call that transformation an example of hope. I want to divert for a few minutes from hope in particular, though, to a broader view of what the spiritual thing is all about. We humans focus on the detail, the divisions into denominations, the shape of our customs and rituals, the politics of church governance, but let's take another step further back from that too. While the buildings and church systems of Christendom may absorb our attention and where people fit, feminist or not, inclusive or not, liberal, contemplative, and fundamental or not, or all three, there is a greater something behind all that too. I think of it as an aquifer, underground, running through the millennia underneath all our human history. This is the spiritual stream of life. It's the water that's alluded to in the Jeremiah reading we just heard, where spiritual people are compared to a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. The tree does not fear, therefore, when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Unlike the aquifers of the Canterbury Plains on our planet, this aquifer does not run dry. So trees with their roots deep into that stream survive all the surface conditions. Over the millennia, people have tapped into that stream. The founders, particularly of different spiritual movements, discover anew the refreshing qualities of the aquifer's waters and the transformation that it brings. And slowly, as others are attracted to that life of that founder, communities, rules, and edifices are built. They can be successful and relevant for a while, especially if the connection to the aquifer is kept strong. Inevitably, however, someone's building project becomes more important, or a particular way of doing things becomes the god of the moment, and the connection is lost. The aquifer, meanwhile, flows on, rich and full and deep, transforming and refreshing where it flows and where it is tapped into. This is where hope lies, deep within us, deep underground, deep inside. For the aquifer does not flow physically under our feet, but under our conscious material lives. It is into the stream that our particular tree of life can grow its deep roots and connect to the source of all being. At this point in time, we have a hope-filled opportunity. As the edifices and congregations and systems and structures of our organised churches decline and crumble around us, we have an early warning system right in front of us. If we hadn't realised it before, hope is not to be found in a set of propositions or rules, but in the source of all being. We are being warned that it is time to stop depending on external sources for our refreshment and identity, that it's time to look within and discover that great archetypal stream of life can flow within our very selves. As we discover that, we will find resonances with familiar words and phrases, narratives and personalities in the ancient stories of scripture and in the lives of those very special people we know and love or whom we knew and loved. Not everything we have known needs to be discarded, for some elements of our organised religion were nourished by living waters. They just got sidelined by more concrete proposals and ambitions. Even in the scary book of Revelation, we find some important water imagery of life. Like that in Revelation 22:1, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Same aquifer, just with imperial language, suited for the times in which it was written. One of the words that can be rehabilitated in this process of restoration is today's word, hope. One of the great three, love, hope, and faith, hope can seem nebulous, wishy-washy, wishful thinking. So hope has been bolstered over the years by the church into the Christian hope, capital T, capital C, capital H, and pinned quite definitely to the assurance of heaven waiting for those who are saved. A sure and certain hope, we read, or the assurance of things not yet seen. Hope in God is a common piece of advice. So hope has been made somewhat concrete. The expectation of a prize for good living and faithful obedience, a heavenly reward and escape from the difficulties of this world. And hope's also been made external in our theology. The God of the Apostles' Creed is pictured as external and enthroned in charge. And it's this external deity, all-powerful and almighty, who will save us. Along with this goes the concept that saving us is not our job, but is done for us. It's predestined from before the worlds began. Hope is taken out of our hands, and we become, as a consequence, dependent, childish subjects of a grand chess master God. And some of us like that. all care and no responsibility. And two, hope, it seems to me, has been associated with our quite wrong assumption that life will be fair, especially for Christians. That if we live a good and charitable life, we will be rewarded, if not in this world, then in the next. Hope, which we assured we can believe in because we can believe in God, always seems to me to have been associated with getting better things than we have now. More friends, a more stimulating job, recognition, safety, success, whatever it is we are hoping for in the future. I can't with integrity stand here and tell you that the Christian hope means that the good will always prevail and the bad will always perish. That fact that this is a common cry in the First Testament particularly shows that that didn't happen then and it doesn't happen now. The Gospel reading is actually only half of the original reading. The second part are the woes as compared to the blessings. Woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. Jesus himself here is credited with expecting that those who do not act justly will reap a negative reward for their unjust dealings, their lack of care for others, their lack of authenticity and their selfishness. So what is hope? The contemporary reading argues that Christian hope is the presence of divine love in person, the Holy Spirit, a current of life that carries us to the ocean of the fullness of communion. That phrase, current of life, resonates with the image of the aquifer, a flow of life, a stream of spirit. And that's what gives hope. Not that external events will be brought into line to favour us. Very difficult for post-enlightenment people to believe. No, hope is that internally we are connected to what nourishes us, fulfills us, and transforms us. Then, whatever happens to us externally, we will be able to withstand anything, rejoicing when things go well, mourning when they do not, but always centred and grounded deep inside because we are connected to the never-ending source of life. And the contemporary reading goes on to say, this hope is, in addition, a source of energy to live differently, not according to the values of a society based on the thirst for possession and competition. Energy, the energy of the flow of water within that deep-seated aquifer. Paying attention to our connection to the source of life, to the aquifer of the spirit, is not time-wasted navel-gazing. For as the contemporary reading from the Tese community tells us, that connection enables us to live according to different values from those of the acquisitive, greedy, all-consuming world. Instead, living out values that emphasise, yes, those big three virtues, love and faith and hope. When we are connected to that source of life, we can deal with whatever life confronts us with. An argumentative friend, a difficult job situation, violence that we do not deserve. It does not mean that we will sit back and take it, but that we will have the energy to deal with it. Energised in such a way we can decide, because we feel secure within, to fight back, or reconcile, or leave, or refuse to cooperate, or blow the whistle. As the contemporary reading says, hope does not expect us to sit passively, letting the world flow over us, drowning us in its darkness. Hope does not condone a victim mentality or a martyr complex where we seek to manipulate and punish others in revenge. Instead, Hope is about clear-eyed, confident living by people transformed by the waters of life. They know that through good or bad, there is a living stream at the heart of them that will never end. As Canadian poet Mary Oliver puts it, coming to them as only a river can, touching every life it meets, that endlessly kind, that enduring. A space of quiet. So may it be. The organ's been humming today, and so David switched it off. He's now going to switch it back on again. And we're going to sing Let My Spirit Always Sing. Offering for the work here and beyond our walls and food for the food bank will be received. Today for our offering prayer we're going to say this affirmation of faith, and those of you for whom the aquifer image works, you might like to think of us as the people of the aquifer. I think the word God probably stands for that, and aquifer stands for God. But let's say it is written, as much as you can. The people of God have a human face. We laugh, we weep, we wait in hope. We lift our eyes and stub our toes. We love and struggle, we fall, we stand. And always we stand on trembling ground. But God is God, and Jesus is the Christ. And the Spirit will lift up our feet. God is in the centre. God is at our endings. Nothing lies beyond the love of God in Christ. Amen. If people have notices, would they like to come forward while I get ball rolling? The sad news here, as I alluded to in the reflection, is that Margaret Megwin died last week, and a private cremation service was led by our own Trish McBride on Saturday morning. But a memorial service will be held for Margaret Monday week. So that's Monday, February the 25th, here at 10 o'clock, to which everyone is welcome. Margaret was feisty and committed to women being known and heard, and a very important person in this congregation. We're very glad for her that she was getting pretty tired of life, as you do at her age, and we're glad for her that she died of natural causes that night. The other thing that's coming up on March the 9th, and you have to go through the notices a few pages to get to it, it's actually under the wider church and community notices, So if you don't read those, we really need you to read this page. It's under the heading Wellington Pride Festival, but it's about a cafe that we are hosting here on March the 9th, which is only 3 weeks away now. It's going to happen in the church hall from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. and it's intended to be for all ages, so families with children can bring their children, high school students can come, right through to older people, for Rainbow community members and their allies, so you're all very welcome to come. We'll be hiring a coffee cart, so it'll be really, really good coffee, and there'll be entertainment during the evening as well. But our church hall doesn't look like a coffee shop as it is now, so we're going to transform it in good Christian tradition. If you look about the third line, it says help is needed with loan of. So if you can dig out your Christmas tree lights, your fairy lights, we want to drape them around the place. You might have some bean bags that we could put in the corner or out in the centre. If you've got attractive floor mats that aren't too big, they would soften the space. Standard lamps, any posters and rainbow paraphernalia that you have, those are the kind of props that we need. And anything that you loan us, if you could make sure it's named so that we can get it back to you. Now, we're getting a bit anxious and we would like to know if any of this stuff is going to turn up. So if you could talk to me or to Margaret Rushbrook and let her know that you have stuff. And if getting it here is a problem, we can probably work on picking it up. And then on the day, we need help decorating the hall on Saturday afternoon with all this stuff you're going to loan us. And then actual serving of food and drinks on the night. If you can perform, we'd be interested in hearing from you. The aim of the night is that it's not only alcohol-free, but also actually free of cost. And so the coffee cart is going to be donated by St Andrews, and we can draw money from the budget, but you know what the budget's like. If you want to contribute to soften that draw on the budget, that would be very welcome too. So 3 weeks away, and we need home baking, you know, the sort of luscious stuff that you would choose from the cabinet in the coffee shop. So if you can think about that, that would be great. I offer this out there in the community. You know, I get rung and I said, what about you doing a cafe? And I say, yes, because I know that the congregation is behind us being inclusive and supportive of rainbow communities. But this is the moment where the rubber hits the road, and my big yes means that you need to say little yeses as well. So hopefully you can get in behind that with us. That would be excellent. There are going to be quite a lot of other things happening at the same time that other people are doing, but if you can help with those, that would be wonderful. Just a notice too about Nola Hansen. Nola has had a fall and broken or got fractures in the lower spine, which are extremely painful. And she's in hospital at the moment and will be being shifted to a rehab ward next week. Frank rang me during the weekend and said that she really isn't up to visitors at the moment, it's just family. But perhaps next week that might be different as she's in the rehab ward. But it would be a good idea to ring first and see whether it's a suitable time to call. I know when my mother had a similar thing, the doctor told me that the pain would be worse than what she had experienced in childbirth. The particularly sensitive part of your anatomy, the lower spine. I do think of them.
The other notices. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Graham Howell and I coordinate the Social Justice Education Group. There's leaflets at the back of the church. The upcoming event next Sunday is where we move up to the conference room and try to learn how to sing properly, as many Vyata as we can, and also have a look through some versions of the Lord's Prayer in Te Reo. Until I looked it up during last week, I wasn't aware that vast number of different versions of the Lord's Prayer in the Māori language. I haven't worked out yet whether I agree with the ethos of each of those Lord Prayers, but it can be something we can look at as well. So next Sunday, learn as many Vyata as possible and at least look at the versions of the Lord's Prayer. And it's so that we can be better hosts and guests when we visit Takanoki Aotearoa out in the hut, and when they come to see us. So next Sunday. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Vivian Chu, the church music coordinator. I thought I would mention, because Susan alluded to it, the Round the Bays run this morning. Our organist Peter Franklin is running today on behalf of victim support. And just looking at the little blurb about it, they support 35,000 people a year affected by crime, trauma and suicide. So it's a wonderful cause. And if people would like to donate, he has a link that you can click on and it takes you to his donation page. He's suggesting donations of $5. He didn't mention it to anybody in the church. I just happened to ask him.
Morena, I'm Sonia Grace Petrie, and I'll just bring your attention to the notice about the zero hour for climate. There's a protest at Parliament on Tuesday at 12 noon, organised by Generation Zero. It's just to bring attention to the fact that the Zero Carbon Act that was put in front of Parliament last year still hasn't arrived in any form. There's ongoing negotiations happening by different political parties, and it's just about putting a little bit of public awareness and pressure on our politicians that time is ticking. If you're interested in being part of this, I'm hoping to get along on Tuesday. I'd love to have some company, so if anyone would like to join me, that would be wonderful. I realise it's at lunchtime during the middle of the week. So if you are interested in supporting it but can't make it on Tuesday, the idea is that we can take a photo of people who are standing behind me straight after church, so maybe before we have coffee, just on the steps up here, and I can take you with me in spirit in the photo. So if you're interested in that, maybe just come and meet me at the steps here straight after the service. That would be great.
Thank you, Sonia. In the notices too, there's a heading Save the Dates, and it has three dates for organ fundraising concerts. And seeing the organ was playing up a bit today, it reminded me to mention this. Now, there are two ways that you can help with these concerts. One is to come and pay to listen to organ music. The other is to invite people and to advertise these in the spaces where you normally circulate. There are some posters that we can give you to put up in places that you go to, like libraries, cafes, etc. And we really want to fill the place for these concerts. The musicians are giving their time free, and so to honour that, we really need to make a lot of money from these concerts, not to put too fine a point on it. So make sure that you have those dates free for yourself, and also that you start talking to other people about them. We're going to sing.
Thank you.
Jenny Simpson will lead our prayers from the rear of the church.
Dear God, it's hard sometimes to find words to pray, for our world is burning. We are destroying it and one another, and it sends us near to despair. This week, the asylum seekers, the men, are still held on Manus Island. There's a probable decision to open more detention centres on Christmas Island. We hear of the plight of Venezuelan people, the still traumatised Yahtzee women and children, the melting Arctic ice and starving polar bears, the Hector's dolphins killed in the fishing nets, the news that the insect kingdom is dying at 2% per year. The whole world is struggling. And yet, although it seems hopeless, we hope. We pray, we hope, we ache, we sometimes can only bear witness. Make it help, God. Make it be our offering. Help us hear your call, walk in your way, live as you did, see as you do. And we give thanks for our prophets who have spoken of justice and compassion. Mother Suzanne O'Bear, Dame Fina Cooper, Marilyn Waring, Louise Nicholas, and the new New Zealander of the Year, Mike King. They remind us to be kind, compassionate, grieve with those who have lost those they love, stand for justice, and refuse to give in to aggression. And especially this week, we remember the young people so close to Mike's heart and work to create a place where children are nurtured and suicide is so rare. And we remember Meg Medwin, our dear friend, and all her family and friends who love and mourn her. And here's a little poem called Puffin for Meg. It may be rainy, we just dance. Some sunny moments, still we dance. Even the sound of blowing wind is inspiration for our steps. On any occasion, we shall dance. May she be dancing. And in the book today, there are no prayers, but we hold the longings and hopes of many people in our heart. And from the circle of prayer today, we think of the people of Malaysia and Brunei, and we pray for understanding between peoples of different faith and religions. In New Zealand, we remember those in Parliament. Today we name Denise Lee, Manga Kiakiaki electorate, and Ian Lees Galloway, Palmerston North electorate. Here in the Central Presbytery, we pray for the leaders and people of Inglewood United Church. And we pray now from the laminated card, the prayer for St. Andrew's. It's in the order of your service. Please, if you're visiting, make this, if you wish, a prayer for your community or for ours. Renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow Christ, and a new spirit of love towards all people. Bless the church in which we live, that may be a place where honest dealing, good government, the desire for beauty, and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do and what we believe, the strong impulse of our worship and work. Amen.
Thank you.
So go into this world carrying within you the secret of the hope that the world needs. And know that as you go, that love surrounds you every moment of every day.